There's a lot of talk out there when it comes to China and U.S. and the tensions. Add to it because of that Geneva trade truce. We're going to talk more about that. The tensions in the Black Sea and those peace talks that might not be going so well in Turkey. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield. We're being joined today by Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. And let's kind of kick it off with the fact that last week the U.S. talked about China messing up with the Geneva trade truce. China now saying this week, Jeff, nope, the U.S. is doing it. It's kind of turned into this tit for tat between the two countries.
You know, it really has. And we know anytime there's any uncertainty between the U.S. and China, we know that that makes the markets nervous. And it shows up under the beans and also under soybean oil a little bit and soybean meal. And that's kind of exactly what has happened here today. And, you know, if you dig in deeper with those communications, you know, the thing we have to kind of add to all that, the fact that we've got, you know, we ended up having the international, you know, court step in and say on those tariffs, wait a minute, we need to have a pause. And then there's appeal. So the tariffs are back in place again. And, you know, you have all that going on. And I can't help but think, Susan, that, you know, impacts any of the countries that are physically negotiating on you know, these tariffs and trade, thinking, well, if we wait a little bit longer, maybe we get a more favorable deal. But, you know, as you dig into it, you're exactly right. You've got the accusations going back and forth, but it even goes a little bit deeper than that. As you dig into it, you know, President Trump, you know, he's accusing China of violating the Geneva Trade Agreement, in particular on the restricting of exports on those rare earth metals. And, you know, and in turn, you know, the U.S. is saying, hey, you know what, we're going to be a little selective on what we do as we send out some of those AI chips and then also revoking some visas for those Chinese students. So in any time there's any type of talk that ultimately paints China in a negative tone, you know, they do always bristle up and they want to be treated with respect. But it does go a little bit deeper than that, even if you think about it. Pete Hegseth, you know, he ended up making comments talking about that China's an imminent threat to Taiwan. And of course, as you end up coming back around, you hear that China says, well, no, wait a minute here, you know, you're really focusing on some Cold War type talk here and mentality. So yeah, there's a lot of back and forth on that. And that kind of has put the market on a little bit of a pause here. And as a result, caused the market to back off a little bit.
And that also, I mean, we see a lot of this outside market pressure, Jeff, that's kind of being worked into today's trade action. And you look at the Black Sea and the tensions that are going on there and continue to elevate will just be more of a market concern for us here in the States.
Yeah, it sure does. And as we dig into that, you know, earlier this morning, you know, crude oil would have been trading at one point on the WTI, you know, had a high of 63.88. Now it's down from there about a buck. So at one point there, it had been, you know, up almost, you know, $3 a barrel. Now it's sitting there currently up about $1.98 a barrel. But as you take a look at, you know, everything going over there, the other big question is that, you know, is there any changes that's going to happen in regard to either the acres that ultimately get planted as far as Ukraine goes? Is there anything that's going to change in regard to being able to get the corn and their other commodities, you know, exported out? And so, yes, that Black Sea tension definitely does cause a big impact. Now, the positive part of it did give the crude oil market, as I mentioned, a little bit of a bump. So anytime we bump that up, that does spill over and give us a little support in corn and soybeans, even though it didn't help those either one of those markets, Susan.
Well, what about what we're seeing continuing the peace talks? I mean, I know these are supposed to be underway with some sort of resolution, but from what I've been reading, they have not been going well in Turkey.
No, and as a matter of fact, some of the stuff that I've seen here actually said that they had, you know, actually only lasted about an hour in time. And really, there wasn't a lot of productive things that came out of it. You know, Russia did go ahead and give their terms, the agreement over to Ukraine. Ukraine basically specified that they'd need about a week to go ahead and evaluate. And the whole talk coming out of there is that, you know, there'd like to be some future round of negotiations out there somewhere around, you know, towards the end of June. And so as a result, you're exactly right. Even though this is the second round of in-person talks, it didn't really do anything to calm the markets. It didn't do anything really to move this whole situation forward. So as a result, that still becomes an unknown that the market has to deal with.
So let's, Jeff, bring everything kind of back home per se, and let's kind of look at where we're at in our crops. Demand, is it going pretty decent for corn and soybeans? I know there's been some struggles with getting some purchases out there.
Yeah, you know, overall, though, I'd say it's actually going pretty well, you know, and the thing we always watch. So first on the export side, we always watch the export sales and we watch the export inspections. And, you know, export inspections were out this morning and, you know, they came in at 1.576 million metric tons. And that was above actually what the trade range, the top end of the range was 1.535. And year to date, that puts us up over 29% ahead of, you know, last year's pace. And one way that we do take a look at what that exactly means for where we could end up in exports, we do just a basic simple pace analysis of the, what that means is that we're looking at historically where would we be at for the amount of bushels that are sold and the amount of bushels that are shipped out in comparison to where we end up at the end of the year. And right now, you know, the seasonal pace, we're ahead of seasonal pace by about 149 million bushels. Now, what that really means is that that means that down the road, there's room for USDA in the monthly WASD report to still increase the demand some more yet on the export side. And we know that, you know, that Safrinha crop is rolling along good. Harvest is rolling along. Crop looks good overall. And as a result, we know they're going to be very competitive and our exports will slow. But as of right now, we're still way ahead of pace. Over on the soybean side, not quite as good. It came in at 268,000 metric tons. That was better than last week, still 11% better than last year. And on the seasonal pace, that would say we're ahead of pace about 72 million bushels, which that also says that down the road. And I don't think we'll see USDA do it in the June report, but the USDA could increase the exports a little more yet. But everybody's very cautious about that because we don't know whether or not we'll see any cancellations or anything happen because of everything that's going on with the trade negotiations with China. And then as you take a look at ethanol, ethanol demand, even though the margins are not great with the ethanol plants, they overall still were ahead of pace, you know, probably ahead of pace, 50 to 75 million bushels worth. So we're still doing okay there. And as a result, down the road, that does open the door for us to be able to see USDA and future WASDE reports increase the demand going to the ethanol side too, Susan.
Do we see any surprises in this afternoon's crop progress report?
You know, I don't think so. I think everybody's looking for the conditions to come up. I think if there is a surprise, maybe it comes over on just the overall planting progress. You know, there's still parts of southern Illinois on into Indiana and Ohio. Areas or some of the ones and maybe even over into Kentucky that, you know, are lagging behind on planting progress. Some of the big questionnaires that, you know, some of those acres, will they get switched to another crop or not get planted at all? So we're going to have to watch that closely. But overall, I think everybody's looking for the conditions to improve in the report this afternoon, Susan.
All right. As long as we get some timely rains between now and harvest time, I think we'll be pretty good.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Jeff Peterson's been joining us today with Heartland Farm Partners for today's market wrap-up. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.